so glad that you're able to worship with us today. We're grateful to worship together in spirit, even as we are scattered in person. It's been encouraging in these last few days to hear our government begin talking about what it'll look like to gradually open things back up to church and be able to worship together. And so please be praying for us as leadership, as we're looking into what that's going to look like at Friendship. We need your prayers as we move forward and look forward to getting back to worshiping together with one another. To know that we're not alone, that means everything. I appreciate our worship time today. Some of you have been asking about worship when we return. You've enjoyed the seating at home, so I've had people ask about, is it okay if we worship in recliners? Can we replace the chairs with recliners or couches? Somebody asked me this past week, it's okay if they come to church in their PJs. I'll give you a picture of how Bridget and the kids have been worshiping at the Browning House. If you look at the picture, you can tell that we're Baptists. Front chairs are empty. Everybody's in the back row at our house. Today, we're launching a new series, and it's called Fear Has No Hold on Me. Over the next few weeks, we're going to explore what the Bible has to teach us about the relationship between faith and fear. How do we navigate uncertainty? How do we overcome fear? What does God have to say to us about worship and worry? And I think this is a great subject for us because a lot of people are more worried now than ever before. We're being inundated with so much information from the media, trying to distinguish what is right and what is true, and it's just a challenge. And many of us are just overwhelmed. When things are spiraling out of control around us, like they are right now, what can we do? What do we need? Well, I would suggest that we all need someone in our life right now who is unchanging. Social distancing has changed the way we do relationships right now. It's changed everything. For many, it's changed how you do your job. It changed how you get along with family and what that looks like. It's changed how you get together with friends for worship. This isn't the 2020 that any of us had in mind. And so let me ask you, don't you need something consistent in your life? Wouldn't you benefit right now from having something, someone in your life that is unchanging? Malachi 3:6 reminds us that God is never changing, even when our world does. Church, I want you to know that the God who ruled the earth last night is the same God who rules it today. God has the same convictions. He has the same plan. He has the same love for you today as he did yesterday and as he will for days to come. We need a God who is unchanging. We also need someone in our life who is uncausing. As we read God's word, we realize that no one breathed life into God. No one caused him. Friend, there was no act that brought God forth. Think about this. Although God creates, he was never created. Although he makes, he was never made. Although God causes, he was never caused. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 90, verse 2. The psalmist was just focusing on God. He said, before the mountains were born, and before the earth was brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Church, God has always been. He is from everlasting to everlasting. God doesn't check the weather, he makes the weather. God doesn't defy gravity, he created it. And since there was no act that brought God forth, there is no act that can take God out. Let me ask you this morning, does God fear a virus? We think about what's going on in our communities and around the world. Does God fear a virus? I mean, are you kidding me? God isn't alarmed by the coronavirus. God doesn't tremble at a tornado. We learn in the Gospels that Jesus slept through the storms and he calmed the winds with a spoken word. Friend, cancer doesn't trouble him. Cemeteries don't disturb him. God was here before they came. He'll be here long after they're gone. Church, we need a God who, while being so mighty and so powerful, he can also touch our lives with tenderness and with compassion to meet our every need. We need a God who is unchanging and a God who is uncausing. And friend, his name is Jesus. And I pray that you know him. And if you don't, then I pray that you would surrender your life to him today. You know, we all have different things that we worry about. There are different things that kind of trigger worry for us. And let me quickly share with you four problems with worry. Number one is that worry is unhelpful. It's unhelpful because it never accomplishes anything. Don't you know that worry never solves anything? Worry, what is it? It is stewing without doing. It's kind of like revving up your engine. You might create a lot of smoke. You may make a lot of noise, but you don't go anywhere. And friend, worry, it has never solved a single problem. You can't change the past, nor can you improve the future by worrying about it. So what does worry do? Worry makes you miserable today. You know, no one can say that if it had not been for worrying, I would not have accomplished this or that. We all rationally know that worry doesn't make any sense. Worry is unhelpful. But secondly, I want you to know that worry is unreasonable. Worry is unreasonable. It has a tendency to exaggerate your problems and to make mountains out of molehills. Stewing without doing, it makes our problems seem bigger and bigger. I would compare worry to a dense fog. You know, when worry comes in, you can't see very clearly. You can't look to see what lies ahead. The National Bureau of Standards has discovered that if you took a dense fog that covered 7 square blocks of a city, 7 square blocks, 100 feet deep, if you were to condense the fog, it would not even equal enough moisture to fill a glass with water. And folks, that's what worry does. Worry expands and it exaggerates the problem. I've learned that the more you review something over and over in your mind, the more that you become hyper-focused upon it, the bigger it gets. So worry is unhelpful, it's unreasonable, and number three, worry is unhealthy. Beloved, the human body was not made to worry. Worry is unnatural. When you worry, you get ulcers and backaches and headaches, insomnia. Our bodies were not made to worry. Think about this. Plants and animals don't worry. Did you know that in all of God's creation, people are the only thing that worries? And we worry. And worry makes us unhappy, and it makes us unhealthy. The old English word for worry, it means to strangle. It means to tear apart. The image in my head is as a kid going to Gatlinburg and watching them make taffy, and they're pulling it apart with a machine. And that's what worry does. It just takes and it pulls us apart. It has the ability to strangle the life out of you. But friend, worry is not natural. In other words, you weren't born worrying. Worry is something that you have to learn. In fact, you have to practice to be good at it. And the good news is that if worry is learned, then it can also be unlearned. Worry is not only unhelpful, unreasonable, and unhealthy, but the fourth problem with worry is that it is unnecessary if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, friend, the answer to worry is my trusting that God will take care of me. That is the solution to worry. But in light of what's happening in our nation, in our community, in light of what's happening in our families, many of us who don't even consider ourselves to be worriers, we have begun to worry. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to open God's Word to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to discover what Jesus had to say about worry. And this morning, I want to share with you the first part of what Jesus said. I'm going to leave you hanging until next week because I don't want to rush through these important words. And so we plan to come back next week to the same passage in Matthew 6. I believe what Jesus teaches us in the scriptures about worry, I believe it is life-changing. Friend, if you will embrace this way of thinking, without a doubt, it will knock your worry down. If you will apply this teaching to your daily life, it will significantly reduce your stress and your anxiety. I've discovered that much of what Jesus has to say about worry, a lot of modern-day authors have borrowed from Jesus' ideas, and you may not realize this, but 2,000 years ago, people worried. People worried. Worry has been around as long as there's been people. 2,000 years ago, there was so much worry that Jesus addressed it. And he gave us some definitive words, some definitive answers to worry. So let me give you the big picture. Some of you, you might check out early. You might decide I'm not interesting enough to stay tuned. So let me give you the key thought. Jesus defines the problem so clearly that you could almost answer the question yourself. Jesus taught that you and I worry about the things that we're most devoted to. Think about it. The things that you're most devoted to often parallel the things that you most worry about. So we worry about the things that we're most devoted to. We don't usually think of it that way because for many of us, worry seems so emotional. We usually attempt to deal with worry in the realm of emotion, but Jesus points out that what drives your worry is the point of your greatest devotion. Let me illustrate it this way, and you probably don't want to hear this coming from your pastor, but I'll just be transparent with you this morning. Don't tell anyone this, but I never worry about your job. I don't. I don't go home and sit on the couch and worry about your job. I'm just being honest with you. I don't worry about your job because I'm not devoted to your job. Now, if you sent me a message and said, Pastor, I've lost my job, I'd be concerned for you. I would pray for you. I would want to encourage you. I would do everything I could. I would offer to sit down and if our church could help you in some way, I would pray that you would get an even better job than the one that you lost. I would do all of those things, but I wouldn't go home and be worried about your job. And the reason is because I'm not devoted to your job. Here's another confession. I never worry about your kids' grades in school. I don't worry about that. Some of you would be saying, you know, all this homeschooling and this new math, I think I'm going to have to flunk my kid. They're just not getting it. I'm not as good of a teacher as what they're getting in the school system. If you sent me a message and said that I think my kid's going to flunk out of school, I'd be concerned. I'd be compassionate. But do I sit at home and worry about your kid's grades? No. Why? Because I have never in my life devoted myself to your kids doing well in school. I hope they do well, but I don't sit around and worry about their grades. You see, my worry is tied to the things that I am most devoted to. Jesus teaches us that the things that you worry about most, the things you worry about tend to reflect your core devotions. And so here's the question. What if you shifted your devotion? What if some of the things that you tend to focus on or be devoted to, what would happen to your worry if you shifted the things that you were devoted to? I think this is an incredible thought. I believe the Bible is incredibly relevant. So church, let's zero in on this conversation with Jesus about worry. Matthew 6:24. It begins like this. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted. You might circle that word. That word's going to come up throughout our discussion. Or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now, that word wealth, some translations use the word mammon. It really refers to money. It refers to stuff. Literally, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and serve your stuff. In other words, you cannot be fully devoted to God and fully devoted to your stuff. Friend, those two things, they are going to war against each other. And you're going to have to decide which are you going to be most devoted to. Because the truth is, you cannot have it both ways. You can like both. You can say that you love both. But when it comes down to it, you've got to decide which one are you most devoted to. Well, fortunately, Jesus doesn't just leave us there, but he takes us to a discussion that underscores what he's trying to get at in Matthew 6:24. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, it's connecting two thoughts. It's not necessarily a new thought. It's not a new idea. Jesus is just connecting two thoughts. He points out in verse 24 that there is a war over who you're going to serve. There is a battle over who's going to be the boss in your life. And so what he describes, there is very real tension. But Jesus went further as he cautioned his listeners not to worry about the things they were worried about. Check out verse 25. Jesus continued, therefore, Or for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I think if Jesus were addressing our situation today, he might say, don't worry about your health. Don't worry about finding a job that you love. Don't worry about keeping the job that you have. Don't worry about your life. Now, I want to be clear this morning. I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm teaching. Jesus isn't suggesting that these things are unimportant. And church, I think this is what's so brilliant about all of this. The point of Jesus' conversation is not that your life and your job and your health and your family are not important. He isn't saying we shouldn't be social distancing. Listen, these things are all important. His point is really the opposite. His point is that all these things are important. And there's definitely some uncertainty related to all of these things. But friend, the truth is that in some areas, things are not going to work out perfect for you. They're not going to work out perfect for me. But Jesus says we still don't have to worry about them. You see, you don't have to worry because there is a way to face uncertainty tomorrow without worrying about it today. Wouldn't you like to have that in your life? A way to face uncertainty tomorrow without worrying about it today? So when it comes to your life, however you define life, whatever it is that you're most devoted to, Jesus' instruction is to stop worrying. Stop being hyper-focused on it. So how do we face uncertain tomorrows without worrying today? Jesus asked a really big question at the end of verse 25. Look at what he asked. He said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Many of us get hyper-focused on things. And because we get so worried, Jesus really wants just to pull you back just a little bit. He wants you to pull away and ask, is life not more than your job? How many of you would define life as my life equals my job? Again, I'm not saying that your job isn't important. I'm just saying that life is more than your career. When I pull back, is life equal to my health? Is that all there is to my life? Is my life bigger than my health? The answer, well, yes. There are many other things that are important in my life besides my health. The things that we stew over are the things that tend to get all of our time and all of our attention. But the truth is that life is more than whatever it is that gets the majority of our focus and our attention. Jesus is helping us deal with worry. He wants us to exercise faith rather than be gripped with fear. He wants to teach you and teach me how not to worry, and he begins by having us pull back. You ready for verse 26? Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Now, some of you are thinking, I don't have time to look at the birds of the air because I need a job. I don't have time to think about the birds of the air because I'm concerned about my health, or I'm concerned about my family. And Jesus would say to you, and he would say to me, are you finished? He would say, I'm trying to help you not to worry. And you might say, well, that seems rather insensitive, but Jesus is not discounting the importance of any of these things. The reason we get so worried is because we become hyper-focused. Remember that your devotion goes with your focus. We quickly become hyper-focused on something to the point that it's all that we think about. It's all that we talk about. I made a personal decision just a few days into this pandemic that I was going to limit the amount of media coverage that I would spend on the COVID-19 virus. I did that not because it was unimportant. I did that not because I don't care, but I did that because I don't want the only thing that I think about or talk about be what's in the media right now. I don't want to become hyper-focused on this single thing. It's important, yes, but friend, my life is bigger than that. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus points out how the birds don't sow or reap or gather in barns. The birds of the air, they don't even really try. I mean, think about it. The birds of the air, they just fly around, and if they see a string laying on the ground, they'll dive down and pick up the string, and they'll go back and put it in their bird nest. Birds don't have plans. They don't have appointments in a smartphone. They don't have a budget or a mortgage. Birds don't do any of the responsible stuff that you and I do. Most of you are trying hard to take care of things right now. You've washed your hands and you've used so much hand sanitizer that when you go to touch your device and open it with your fingerprint, your fingerprint's gone. It's been eaten away. I mean, we're doing the things that we need to do. But the birds of the air, they just go with the flow. That they operate by instinct, and yet our Heavenly Father, He feeds them. He takes care of them. Jesus asked another question at the end of verse 26. He said, "Are you not worth much more than they?" Referring to the birds. Friend, are you not much more valuable to God than a bird? Let me ask it a different way. Do you think God cares for you more than He does the birds? Do you think God is more concerned about you? Let me remind you that you were made in God's image. You were made in His image. Take the time to read the story of creation. God made all of this cool stuff, and when He came to mankind, He said, "This is different." He says, "I am making man and woman in my own image, and when I see them, I think about me. And when they see me, I want them to know how much I love them." Friend, when God sent a Savior into the world, the Savior didn't come to us in the form of a bird or a puppy. No, God sent His Son into this world in the form of a person. God cares for you more than He does a bird. And yet so many of us, we get hyper-focused. We become fixated on something and we let it consume us to the point that we worry. And listen, I understand the uncertainty of tomorrow. But I believe our Lord is teaching us that we can face uncertainty and still not worry about it. Let me also point out that Jesus is not teaching in this passage that we are to be irresponsible and just hope or expect that everything's still going to work out for us. He's not suggesting that we shouldn't do what is right. He's simply inviting us to trust in Him. You see, I think we should sow and we should reap. And I think we should gather in barns. I think we should fill out applications for employment. I think we should educate ourselves on what is happening around us. And I think we ought to take seriously the need to social distance. We should set goals. We should work hard. We should do our very best. But listen, friend, once we've done all that you can do in the now, we ought to trust God. We have to trust Him. Listen, you don't need to worry and stew over things. We should do everything we can. And then we should call upon God to do what only He can do. Go back to our text. In verse 27 through verse 30, Matthew records the words of Jesus. He says, "And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Friend, when you get hyper-focused on what about this or what about that, when you get hyper-focused on things, are you really helping yourself? Are you really benefiting yourself? Let me ask you, can you, by worrying in the now, can you bring certainty to the next now? Can you, by worrying today, can you create certainty in the next day? And friend, the answer obviously is no. Jesus points out that if worry isn't going to get you anywhere, then why worry? If God loves you more than He loves the birds in the sky, if God loves you more than the flowers in the field, if He loves you that much, and if you've done all that you know to do in the now, then friend, God can be trusted in the next now that you have no control over. And the result of our trust in Him is that we will win over worry, The result of our trusting in Him is that we will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. Church, we stop worrying not because we know what's going to happen tomorrow. No, we stop worrying because we trust that the only one who can do anything about tomorrow is Jesus. And He loves us. And He cares for us. And He's promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. Don't you believe that in the tomorrow that you have no control over, based on the today that you have done all that you know to do, don't you believe that God can and God will take care of you? At the end of verse 30, the Lord goes right to the heart of this worry issue. And this is where we're going to wrap things up today. Friend, please don't miss this. Jesus, He's connecting some big dots for us. In our world of worry, at least for most of us, it's mostly about future uncertainty. We worry about the unknown. And so Jesus wants us to back up. He wants us to connect some dots. He wants us to get the big picture. And at the end of verse 30, Jesus said, "You of little faith." Church, ultimately, worry is a devotion issue. Worry is a faith issue. Our emotions get attached to the things that we're most devoted to. And the reason it's difficult for us to pull away, the reason it's difficult for us to trust Him with the uncertainty of tomorrow, the reason that we're so devoted to and so emotionally distraught about the issues of life, friend, it really boils down to the issue of trust. Do you trust your Father in heaven? I'm not discounting the importance of the things that we get hyper-focused on. Those things are important. My point is not that these things are things you shouldn't be concerned about. My point is that you don't need to worry about them. Jesus makes it clear the issue boils down to our trusting in our Father in heaven. That's why He said, "You of little faith." Friend, when you and I worry, we are expressing a lack of confidence in God's willingness and His ability to take care of us. I can show you where I think many of us get stuck. For many of you, you would say, "I know God can. I just don't know if God will." And that's where we get stuck. I know God can, but I don't know if He will. I know God can take care of me. I know God can help me. I know God can heal me. I know He can. I'm just not sure if He will. Listen, what if you woke up every day and lived your life as if you were absolutely confident that God was your heavenly Father and that you could trust Him? What would your life look like? What if you could wake up every single day confident that God loves you more than the birds of the air, and more than the flowers of the field, and that not only God could, but God would take care of you? Then what would you worry about? If you were convinced God can and will take care of you, you wouldn't stop worrying because the future had all of a sudden become certain. You wouldn't stop worrying because you knew exactly what was going to happen tomorrow or the next day. No, you would stop worrying because you are trusting in your Heavenly Father instead of trusting in your own ability to predict the future or your ability to bring certainty into the future. I want to share with you something that I believe is significant that we often overlook. Did you know that not one single second of your life has ever been a certainty? Ever. You realize that you have lived with uncertainties since you were born? It's just that at different stages of life, I think we become more aware of the uncertainty. Listen, church, your future has been uncertain every single moment of every single day. You haven't had the ability to determine anything about your future at any point in your life. But I think this pandemic, it has caused us to become more aware of the uncertainty. But the truth is that God has been faithful to you. God has been faithful to you in past uncertainty. God has been faithful to you in the past. You just weren't as aware or maybe as stressed about it as you are in this season of life. Life has changed for all of us right now. But let me ask you, what about God has changed? The answer is nothing. Friend, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. let me give you some takeaways, just some things to think about. Some of you will pick to do one of these. Some of you will choose to do all three. Some of you will pick none of these to do, but here it is. The first thing we learned is that worry is a waste of time. When your brain starts to get attached to something that you have no certainty or control over, when you begin to worry, I want you just to sort of pull away and remember that worry is really like throwing your life away. Friend, you only have a certain amount of life. Don't throw your life away on worry. So after you've done all that you can do, be resolved to worship instead of worry. I think the more we focus on problems, the bigger those problems become. I think rather than focusing on our problems, instead of focusing on the size of our problems, we need to focus on the size of our God. And friend, as we worship Him, let your worship renew your trust and your confidence in God. When you find yourself becoming hyper-focused on something that is outside of your control, recognize it and then pull back and worship. The second thing we learned is that we are to do what we can do. We need to sow. We need to reap. We need to gather in barns. We need to do what we can, and then we need to trust that God will do what we cannot. So at the end of the day, when your brain starts down that worry trail, you just need to say, time out. Have I done all that I know that I can do? And friend, if the answer is that is yes, then you've been responsible in the now. And if you've done what you can now, then it's time to trust God for tomorrow. If you've been irresponsible in the now, if there are things that you need to do, then you need to get with it. And you need to take care of those things. And then the last thing I would ask you to consider is to commit to reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34 every day this week. These are the verses we talked about today. These are the verses that we will come back to next week. Would you be willing to read Matthew 6, 24 through 34 every day this week? You see, I want Jesus' words about worry. I want His words to find their way into your heart. And I believe that if you will faithfully read God's word, I believe God will begin to do something in your heart about this issue of worry. As you lean into God's word, let Him do a work in you so that as you face areas of uncertainty, even though the uncertainty doesn't go away, you won't be paralyzed with worry and with fear. I found that winning over worry is a daily choice. Sometimes for me, it's hourly. Sometimes it is a moment-by-moment choice. But friend, it is a choice in which you and I say, I trust in my God. I believe He can, and I believe He will see me through. So what do you need to surrender over to God today? God, I'm surrendering this situation to You. God, I'm trusting this person to You. Maybe you need to shift your devotion. Maybe you find that the things that you are most devoted to aren't the things that align with God's word. And you need to surrender some of that over to Him today. For some of you, you need to know that more than anything else, God wants you to completely surrender your life to His Son, Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, why would we do that? The gospel message is that all have sinned. All sin must be punished. All need salvation. All are offered salvation. All are without excuse. But only those who believe, only those who put their trust in Jesus will experience the love of God and eternal life. Friend, Jesus became sin for us on the cross. He died as the perfect sacrifice for your sin and for mine. But the gospel tells us on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Why? So that anyone who calls on His name will be saved. Many years ago, when I recognized that I was trying to do life on my own, I discovered that I needed God's help. I needed His grace. I needed His forgiveness. I needed salvation. And so by faith, I turned from my sin and I turned toward Him. When I became a follower of Christ, I completely surrendered all that I was and all that I had over to Him. And friend, if that is your prayer today, then I would urge you right where you are, right now, you just say to Him, yes, Lord, I need Your forgiveness. Today, I choose to surrender my life to You. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. My life is not my own because today I give my life to you. And if you pray to receive Christ today, the Bible teaches that you're to go public. Let others know of your life-changing decision. You can do that by leaving a comment on Facebook. You can email us through our website. You can contact us by phone. But friend, we want to celebrate with you your new life in Christ. We want to provide you the resources that you need so that you can grow in this new relationship that you share with Jesus Christ. Church, we want you to know that we love you, we care about you, and God loves you. And not only can, but God will see us through. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your love for us. Father, you have made us in your image. Out of all of creation, we are made in your image. And when you created man and woman, you said it is not just good, but it is very good. Father, thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for your faithfulness. God, as we look in the rearview mirror, we recognize that you have been faithful to us in the past as we've navigated uncertainty, as we've overcome fear. God, you've been faithful in the past, and you will once again prove yourself faithful in these difficult days that we find ourselves now. God, I pray that you would help us to be people of faith, not people of fear. God, give us what we need, that we will be able to be a shining light, an example for all around us of your children. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.